On with Mario Lopez.
Yo, I'm Mario Lopez. Joining me now in the studio, my man, legendary comic, Mr. Andrew Dice Clay. How are you, sir?
Always really good to see you. Really good. Great to be here with you. I admire your studio. You know,
Appreciate that. Like I
don't see you, you know, because you're all over.
Thank you. You were telling me I stalk you in hotel rooms, which, by the way, the interview we did prior where you talked about that, that is now going to be in the hotel room. My producer wanted me to tell you. You're going to be watching in your hotel room.
No, because you make me comfortable. You know what I mean?
Like if I'm in a state like,
I don't know, Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, at a casino, and I turn on that and I got to get ready for a show, and you have those before show jitters.
Right.
You know, and I go, just find Mario. Just find Mario.
That'll relax you.
Like, I don't care that you're talking about what they might have or what movies are coming.
Right.
I'm hearing, okay, Dice, just take it easy. You've done this 1,000 times.
Yes.
You've played the biggest places in the world. Nobody's ever going to top you. You're the greatest comic I've ever seen, ever in the world.
Those are the vibes I'm trying to get across.
No, that's what you're saying. And you might be talking about, like, Equalizer 2.
Right.
But I'm hearing something else.
Right. I love it. That's my favorite, man.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, oh my gosh, on everything. But first, I want to talk about A Star Is Born. It is out this weekend. You play Lady Gaga's dad. And I just think it's awesome because all the names that were kind of bandied about there, and Bradley Cooper personally reached out to you for this role.
It was really exciting. And I didn't even know what he wanted from me.
How did that conversation go when he reached out?
Well, this is what happened. This is the whole story. Okay. So I go and I put Guns N' Roses back together single-handedly. Took me a little while.
Wait, what?
No, it was written about in Rolling Stone. I'm not making it up. What happened was my son Max, who's the drummer in his band with my son Dylan and Kyle.
One of our producers,
and,
right?
Yeah, exactly. He's saying to me since he's 15 years old, he goes, Dad, you know you're the only one that could ever put GNR back together, you know, because of how they look up to me. You know, they originally came to see me at the Wiltern. Then they were at the amphitheater. They used to ring my bell when I was up from the rock and roll Rouse on Sunset.
Right.
They'd ring my bell 3 a.m.
Wow.
So we became very close. I wound up doing the Rose Bowl with them. You know, in between Metallica and GNR, I did a set and then I brought Axe. So we were always close. So I said, look, if it's ever really called for, I'll just put them together. I know what to do. So because of my son's band, I need rock and roll in the world, okay? Real rock and roll, which GNR is, obviously.
Right.
So the first guy I get was Slash. I was doing a tour in Australia. I was there for about 10 minutes. And we were at the top of this hotel in Sydney where they serve breakfast and they got big porches sitting outside. So I come out there and I say, you mind if I smoke? Because he's just sitting there.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah. And he's going, Dice. And I go, hey, how you doing? What are you doing out here? I said to him. He goes, well, I'm playing their like national anthem at one of their football games.
Right.
So I look at him and I go, yeah, that's big, you know. He goes, no, it's going to be on TV. I go, yeah, great. You know, you're doing the national anthem. You're Slash. You're one of the biggest players, greatest players ever in all time. I go, so I want to know what the argument was that happened about 23 years ago that you guys can't put it back together and thrill the millions of people that have come to love you since you broke up.
What was it?
You know. Just dumb stuff that every band goes through, you know. So he started talking very positive about Axl because that was always the problem. So now I come back to L.A. Okay. Next up, I got to get Duff. So Duff comes with his wife to see my son's band at the a place on Burbank Boulevard. And what was great, he stayed through the whole show and he was really into the boys and... The next day, I'm hanging out with him and my son, Max, who really can't believe it. Like, why is he with Duff?
Right.
Because I've told him a million stories how we used to hang out, but now he's seeing it.
Right.
you know, and Duff's giving them great advice, you know, about the band and what they need to be doing. And, you know, it gets to the point where I go, okay, what's the next move? Because I don't have patience for this, you know. You know, and the road manager is there, Tom Mayhew.
Right.
So Tom is like, well, we got to get Slash, because he would be condescending all the years when he would put out tweets and stuff about mm-hmm. Axl. Like girlfriend and boyfriend that broke up.
Right.
You know, nonsense. So what happened is I open a show now at the Hard Rock Hotel in Vegas for Axl. It's his last show. And I'm working in a smaller room at the Hard Rock. I'm doing vinyl. He's in the joint. So I opened the last show he's doing. And then we're hanging out afterwards. And I got both my sons there, which is like, you know, for them, they grew up, they just idolize him. You know, it's like if I met Elvis, I wouldn't know what to say, you know.
Of course.
So, you know, Axl, you know, did like a 2.5-hour show. Fantastic, you know. He's going, Dice, what'd you think of the show? I go, best you've been, you know. I mean, your voice is incredible. Great, great show, whatever. You know, and he goes, why are you saying it like that? I go, because you're working with a cover band. You're in front of 3,000 people, which I could be doing. I go, you should be in front of stadiums. I go, it's an obligation to your fans. Put it together. So now Slash does put out the positive tweets about how great Axl is. Band's back. I got so excited. I'm coming home from a gig in my car, also in Burbank. And I hear, is it true that the original lineup is getting back together? You know, and I was just thrilled. And then it happened.
Look at that.
You know, so I love. So I was at the very first show. You're talking about Bradley at the Troubadour with my sons. And this little VIP, it's a small place, that's right, like 300 people. So I wanted to see that first show together, which is where Axl actually fell and broke like his ankle.
Oh, yeah.
You could relate, you know what I mean? You and him do like the same things. So so you must look up to him too. So anyway.
My era?
So the show is fantastic. And as I'm leaving, I'm passing Bradley Cooper. And I go, I just want to tell you, I thought you were great in Sniper, you know. And his mother grabs me, and she goes, not so fast. You don't know what you mean to our family. You know?
The mom.
Yeah, and I go, yeah, but, you know, I love your son. I followed his career. I just want. She goes, no. Tell him, Bradley. You know? She goes, Dice, how many times were you at the Philadelphia Spectrum? Because he's from Philly.
Right.
And I go, well, I've done it 3 times. And she goes, we were at 2 of those shows. She goes, that's what you mean to us. Couple months later, I'm in his office talking to him, you know, for 3.5 hours. And mostly, you know, we're talking about the movie, but mostly we're talking about, I'm talking about my sons because he was ready to have his first child.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I wound up playing him half their album because I always carry their CDs, you know.
Good dad.
And he's telling me how he had to learn guitar
right.
for A Star Is Born. You know, and I said, you know, well, if you need some help, my son Dylan, you know, he's really great at this stuff, you know. And he goes, I'd like to meet him. And the next day, so the meeting's coming, 3.5-hour meeting. I don't even know what it's about. So when I'm leaving the meeting, I look at Bradley. I go, let me ask you something, because I'm pretty sure my sons, who are in their 20s, you know, are sitting on our front porch, you know, which is hysterical because I've turned my front porch in the valley, like a nice neighborhood. Looks like a Brooklyn stoop.
That's great.
There's an old office chair that's bent to the side with the foam coming out of the arm. Yeah. Like the neighborhood hates us.
Right.
And yeah, there's lounge chairs. Like, you know, when people walk by, they're going, why?
Yeah.
Why are these animals still living here?
Put up a wall.
You know, so I said, so my sons are going to be waiting for me. I go, what do you think I should tell them, like, about this meeting? Like, how did it go? And he goes, you want me to tell you what to tell your sons? I go, yeah, because I don't know what you're thinking, you know.
Smart.
So you tell me what to tell them. And he goes, I think it went really well. I go, okay, you know, remember you said that, you know. You know, I'm from Brooklyn.
Right.
So I go home and I tell him it went pretty well. You know, he said to tell you that, you know. The next morning I have a text. Can I go into Hollywood and meet Stephanie, who's Lady Gaga? You know, she's recording some stuff for the movie. So I go over there. We meet. You know, instantly we got along. Like her crew parted like the Red Sea when I came in the studio. It was funny. But we talked about, like, you know, becoming a phenomenon. Like when she broke.
Right.
You know, she goes, but what about you? And I go, yeah, when I broke, I go, I was like the Lady Gaga of comedy.
Right.
So I know what it feels like.
Good analogy.
You know, to be, you know, because fame, as you know, could be a very scary place.
Exactly.
And a very lonely place.
Right.
And when you become a phenomena, you know, who do you keep around if you're smart? Your family, your friends, and that's what she does. And then Bradley showed up at the studio and he took us in another, you know, room where nothing's going on. He goes, all right, let's work some scenes. I go, what scenes? I don't know the movie. You know?
Right.
You know, I just got the script. Like, what are you, out of your mind? He goes, calm down. It's going to be fine. And he takes us both like corners of the room, like fighters, you know? And he whispers stuff to me, whispers stuff to her. So the first scene was pretty light, okay? Just a father-daughter scene, you know? Now the second scene, he gets into my head, you know? And he talks about, like, my kids and if this happened or that happened. And I go, all right, I could do that, you know. So now the scene starts and I'm feeling nothing, you know. But I'm wearing dark glasses like this. And I also wear this. It's not for guns, but it looks like a two-gun holster that okay. I keep my wallet, glasses, the phone, you know. It looks like I'm ready to say, you know, like I'm Doc from Tombstone. The movie Tombstone, right. You know, going
Doc Holliday.
Yeah, just say when. Yeah. That's what it looks like, you know.
Right.
So I go, Bradley, I don't know what's going on. Forget this. You know, he goes, what do you mean forget? I go, I don't feel it. I feel nothing. I go, wait a minute. I know what it is. I take my glasses off, you know. And then I start, and I'm still not feeling it. I take the bag off, the two gun. And I'm like, all right, we should be okay now. Now I feel normal. Now I feel like a dad, you know.
Yeah.
3 minutes later, I'm holding her head against my chest. Tears are falling off my face. And I'm actually looking, even though I'm in it. Like, why am I holding her? I know this girl for 20 minutes, you know. It's Lady Gaga. She's, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm crying, and he's on the floor, and he's going, yes. Yeah, I knew it. I knew it with you, Dice. I knew it since I saw Blue Jasmine that you can do some, you know. So, you know, so now it's Sunday, and you know how long it takes to get a part.
Right.
Know,
so that was a screen test, essentially.
Yeah. Calls me Monday night. He goes, I want to offer you the part of Lorenzo, which is you know, her father.
Lorenzo.
And it was emotional for me because, honestly, after I did... Yeah, I got to work with some great directors over the last few years.
Woody Allen, and you know, you stole like I told you, in vinyl, the performance was...
Yeah, and I'm always looking to prove myself.
Right.
And so after I got done with that, I didn't even want to do any more movies. Huh. I was like, I'm just going to stick with the comedy.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, Bradley's calling you up, wants you for the... And I loved The Star Is Born when I originally saw it with Barbara Streisand.
Mm-hmm.
And... I told my sons, I go, I'm going to make this a tribute to Elvis.
Hmm.
Because what had happened is the Star Is Born that Streisand did with Kris Kristofferson was originally supposed to be Elvis and Barbara Streisand.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Because I'm really close. I don't know if you know. You ever meet Jerry Schilling? He's Elvis's. He grew up in Elvis's house.
Huh. That's right.
The house he lives in L.A., yeah. Elvis bought him. You know, I've been up there a million times. He's shown me pictures when they went to see Nixon. Jerry's the one that went with him. Yeah. Like, you're out of your mind. You're just going to see the president, you know. And so he was like his best friend. He even wrote a book called, like, My Friend Elvis.
Yeah.
You know, and Jerry Schilling ran the estate for years. So he told me the whole story of Elvis and Streisand, that they'd sit in Elvis's dressing room in Vegas after their separate concerts and talk about A Star Is Born. Elvis was all pumped to do it. But But Colonel Parker, moron, stupid person. I can't use the words I really want.
Who took 50% that he of was, everything, right?
Yeah, 50% wouldn't let Elvis perform outside the States. Did you know that? Elvis never got to tour Europe.
Yeah, that is
That's
weird.
Why I studied for performance. That's why I know so much. Yeah. I didn't study comics.
Hmm.
That's why the image of Dice that you knew of was all the leather jackets with giant collars.
Wow.
And he taught me what I knew about performance, only I did it as a comic.
Right.
You know, I didn't study comics. Who cares? You know, yeah. they bore me to tears, half of them. So when I made it in comedy, it was all about the Elvis vibe and creating excitement for audiences.
So it had that, yeah, because it had a little Tony Manero too.
Everything.
A little Elvis.
That's right. Yeah, and I would do Elvis at the end of the concerts. Yeah. I had an 8-piece band and we'd really do it. We would do,
what like song during would you
deserts,
do?
I would do CC Ride, or I would do Baby What You Want Me to Do. I would end with Trilogy, which is that Glory Hallelujah right. song, because we were it was during Desert Storm when my right. career took off.
Right.
So I would really do the numbers, and people would love it, you know. So, but the bottom line with the Elvis thing is, because they weren't going to give Elvis first billing, like it would have been like Barbara Streisand and Elvis Presley.
Oh, no, I can't do that.
The Colonel said, "You're not doing the movie. Mm. If they're not putting your name up first, you're not doing it." And that wrecked Elvis because he was trying so many years, because he did all those beach movies,
right.
you know, Girls, 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 yeah. all that.
On an Acapulco.
I mean, you know, the best of it was the one with Anne Margaret.
Right, Viva Las Vegas.
Yeah, that was amazing
that
because
was
their chemistry.
I like those. Wow, that's
And you
a
know what went on there, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know the house.
Right. Oh, really?
It's at the top of Truesdale.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Like on my birthday, I used to, because I lived right down the hill on Doheny.
Yeah.
I used to hike the hill just to touch the gate on my birthday, you know.
Damn.
So anyway, Elvis, it ruined him because now he's not getting to do the one dramatic role, which he just would have been outrageous in.
Yeah.
And that's why he spiraled.
Oh, wow.
And so even though I wasn't the lead in this movie, I said, I got to do this great.
What an ironic
the
full
Elvis
circle
fan
moment. Yeah,
I am.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
You
know? Well, that's that makes it extra special for you. Well, again, congratulations and work
Thank
with those.
You.
I can't wait to check it out. But aside from that movie, I just want to talk about a couple other things real quick that you got going on. This really cool podcast, The Dice Cast. I'm over
Dice
here now.
Cast. But do you know why it's called The Dice Cast?
Because it's not supposed to be a podcast. It's a Dice
it's
Cast.
It's a Dice
Cast.
It's half reality show, half transistor radio show.
Okay, okay.
Like you could listen on your radio, but when you watch it, you see the insanity of it because, you know, you see how we're just sitting around? That's all good. This is great. You're Mario Lopez. You get the sign. They didn't put a sign up of me yet.
It's coming.
But what I'm saying is, you know, people walk out on me. I walk out when I get bored. Or if I see, like last week.
I got to go, as a matter of fact.
This guy.
Put the parking brake on the scooter.
This producer friend of mine, Nick Vallelonga, who also has a giant film coming out called Green Book. Okay. And it's Spielberg took it over, and it's almost like a reverse of Driving Miss Daisy.
Right.
Where it's a white driver, and the passenger is this African-American classical pianist in the 60s. And it's a true story about this guy's father. And in years, he became a great actor, but this is in the 60s when his father was a bouncer at the Copacabana. And they closed for renovations, and this performer needed somebody to drive him through the South. So it's the relationship of those two guys, and it won for best audience in Toronto.
Wow.
So last week, I'm doing my, and here comes Nick with some pizza girl. You know, I don't know her. I just saw, you know, that she's hot. So, you know, she brings the pizza in, and I just want to talk to her. I don't want to do the show right now. So I go out to another room with her to rap with her. But I saw it. It's airing this week. And I'm going, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. That's why it became, like, first week, number 4.
Right.
You know, out of the top podcasts in the world. And it's a dice cast because it's cutting between when I'm talking to this girl. I'm trying to pick up on the girl.
Right.
Who I don't know is an ex-Baywatch girl. Christy Allen.
Oh, yeah, you know Christy Allen.
She's a great girl. She wound up at my birthday party.
Well, look at that. It worked out.
And,
I do know her as a matter
of fact. But I don't know. I'm thinking it's the pizza delivery girl.
Right.
You know, I don't know and now she does comedy.
I'm sure she appreciates it. She does comedy now?
Yeah, and I got my arm around her out in the hallway, and it's cutting back where my son Dylan took over the dice cast.
Right.
Like, where is he? And my opening act, Eleanor Carrigan's yelling at me when I come in, where are you going?
Right.
You know, I'm going, mind your business where I'm going. Because I used to be with Eleanor. I know a million girls love you, right? You know that.
Well, I don't know about that.
No, you know that. Come on. This is going on for years. You know. But what I'm saying, not every girl in the world loves me, but the ones that do, it's like forever. You can't shake them.
Yeah.
You know, so Eleanor, who to me is the best, one of the best stand-ups in the country. I mean, when she finally does a special, I mean, that's why I don't even say best girl comic, because she's such a killer on
stage.
Just
in general.
She destroys every crowd.
Right.
I mean, you know, and my crowds... Like me, Joe Rogan, we have the most aggressive crowds as comics in the world.
Right.
And she goes up there and just kills.
Oh.
Every night, whether it's 300 people or 3,000.
That's awesome.
Means nothing to her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's from Philly.
Got it.
South Philly.
Got it.
You understand?
Of course.
Row home.
Yes.
You know, schoolyard. She loves to fight. You know.
Sounds like
my kind
of girl.
That's why she was a good girlfriend for me for a while.
I get it.
Because when I would get into it with people, I couldn't get sued. So she'd fight them. You know what I mean?
She's got your back.
Yeah, she's like tough as nails.
Must listen to podcasts right there. The Dice Cast. I'm over here now.
It's on Gas Digital Network.
Gas Digital Network. Okay.
It airs every Monday, you know, like visually for people that want to pay the $3, $4, whatever it is you get. I do 4 shows a month, but they get 18 shows and... But if you just want to listen, it goes up like on Fridays, you know, like
got
free.
It. We'll put up all the info on
Oh, yeah, you know what you're doing.
We'll put
this
it off.
Like
no.
something.
Yeah.
You know, why do you have all your hair?
I got your back.
I don't get that. That bothers me. And not to break what we're talking about.
I'm lucky.
Are you married now? You're like
married.
A married
guy. I got two kids. Those are my two kids. I got little ones.
Yeah, I, you know. No, that's beautiful, but you don't need marriage to do all that.
No, you're right.
You know, this is 2018.
Can you tell my wife that?
How many years you married?
Oh, God, what about 5, 6, something like that? We've been together like 9.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 9, yeah.
So it's still pretty fresh.
Yeah, it's still pretty fresh. I mean, we got about a dime in. We got about 10 years in. It might have been 6 years. I think we're married about 6 years.
But I think you're the type of guy, you're a romantic.
Yeah. I would consider myself.
Like, what are you going to bring her today when you come home?
Well, it's not an everyday thing. We can't spoil them. Come on, you know that, Dice. But
No, I do. I actually do.
Every day, it's a lot of work.
No,
it's a lot of work. But when I go,
that's why I'm single now.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I've been through it.
I'm sure you have.
You know, I get married all the time.
Oh, yeah. How many times you been married?
3 times.
Oh, 3 times. Is that
three
it?
3 times. I was engaged to Eleanor, who I was 15 years ago.
Oh, you love love then. I like it.
Yeah, I never give up on the prospect of real romance. And I think that's part of the reason people...
That keeps it young.
But going back to the movie, that's why this movie keeps getting remade.
Listen, Dice, before I let you go, I want to put you on the spot. Quick questions, quick answers, okay?
All right, let's see if I can do that.
Favorite Gaga song?
Oh, I like the original. You know, I fell in love with her, like with Monster.
Okay. Last show you binged watched?
Oh, well, I love... Wait. Binge watch would be...
When you kind of power through, you want to see them all.
Billions.
Great show, huh?
Unreal.
Show. Celebrity crush growing up?
I'd say Suzanne Summers.
Okay, a little Three's Company right there.
Well, I didn't need the other one. The other one didn't do anything.
The other one didn't do anything.
I mean, she was cute, but next to Suzanne.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. If you could be any animal, what would you pick?
Lion.
That was quick.
No, because I that's what I call my company, because, see, if you notice, I'll tell you guys, the lion could kick anybody's butt in the jungle, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yet, He's not the biggest animal in the jungle, is he?
It's not.
No. Isn't a bear bigger?
Sure.
Right? You see what I'm saying?
Right. They're in a forest, but that's
all
right.
The thing about a lion is when a lion is threatened and he feels his back against the wall, the claws grow.
Right.
And that's why he could take anything down.
That's you. You chill like a lion.
Yeah, I really do.
You like the women to do the work and bring.
No, I'm about the work. I could cook chicken. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm a chicken cooker.
I'm with you on it. And last question. They're doing the Andrew Dice Clay movie biopic. Which actor would you cast in that role?
Well, there's something going on now with Gene Kirkwood and Chaz Palminteri, who's writing this thing.
Ah,
yeah,
it's
pretty amazing. And you know, Gene, you know, I don't know. Have you ever interviewed him?
No, I haven't. One but Chaz Palminteri, biggest, yes, he's a great
one
guy.
One of the biggest producers ever. Now, you know,
sure.
Everything from Rocky One.
Right. No, I get
the
it.
Movies that you would love, like Pulp Fiction.
But if you're
Village.
The producer on this one, who would you cast? What actor would you cast?
Well, I used to want James Franco. I even met with him about 10 years ago about it, but there was no book even yet. And just the greatest guy. But
right,
we also need a guy that when they play me, you know, younger, they have to sort of look like me. And
right.
Franco had that, you know, he's got the egg. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you see my head? It's like more of an egg. Yours is a little rounded. In my head, you have more of a tomato.
I got more of a tomato.
So we needed an egg.
Is Bradley Cooper an egg?
Bradley, I spoke to him a little about it, but he was so absorbed.
Right.
Because he could do it.
He could do it.
You know who I really love?
What's the head shape like, though?
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, yeah.
He could do it. Yeah, he's a good actor.
And more than the look, he would have the look, but in all the films he's done.
Yeah.
I've seen all, I know how I am personally, not just on stage, because it's almost like playing, for an actor, it's like playing two parts.
Right.
Okay, you're playing that, the animal that the world knew as Dice, and then you have the father, the husband, you know, the personal life.
Right.
Which I'm very different in. And so you need a guy that could play, you need a great method actor.
Right.
That will take that on.
Yes. All those choices, excellent choices. I'd watch all the movies. Thank you so much for taking the time. Such a pleasure always to hang out
always
with you, sir.
Always great to be here.
A Star is Born is in theaters now. You can follow him on Instagram, maybe even slide into his DMs.
Yeah,
you never know.
I'm on Andrew Dice Clay Instagram.
At Andrew Dice Clay, exactly.
Yeah. And a lot of girls do write to me, but I can't bother with them. Do you know what they do?
What do they do?
This is what they do. All right. Like, I had a girlfriend on Instagram for like a year. I think they're broken up now. You know, and, you know, I met her once, and then we'd Instagram talk. And then we had a phone conversation, more than one, and then more Instagram talk. But what's happened to people is you could actually have these relationships just on Instagram, and then they just disappear like it never happened.
Wow.
Robotic. They're robots today.
Huh.
It's very hard to start a relationship today because you could write to a girl, hey, how's it going? Week and a half later, good. How are you? What?
What kind of-
This is 118 hours ago I wrote this to you. You know, years ago you had to dial the phone. That was it. The only way you're going to talk to a girl is call that house
exactly.
phone.
Exactly. I miss those days.
So do I. You could call 2:30 in the morning. You had to go up against it. Wasn't a text. You want to come over?
Yeah.
And 9 days later, I'm busy right now.
Yeah, I know.
You've been busy for 3 weeks. Years ago, you'd have to call the house. You didn't know if the mother's picking up, the father's picking up. Who's calling this house 3:30 in the morning? No, it's Andrew. Send her over. You know, I mean, how many you want to take care of her whole life? I got a big house. You know, and get rid of her. She's not that great to look at. Trust me. Because, you know, you probably have a beautiful wife. I've never seen your wife, but you got beautiful kids. I like a girl. I like them pretty, but I like them a little defected.
A little defected?
Yeah, a little. Yeah, look at your wife. Just beautiful, right? Like, this is like... There's nothing wrong here.
Like, I could go with a woman like this if one foot's a little shorter than the other. You know, like a little defect.
Yeah, you want them, you want to keep them humble.
Yeah, like let's say a girl's a little round-shouldered.
Right.
And now you're in front of her family and she wants to lay into you. Right. You know what I mean? You guys, so you hit her with this. Stand up straight. You want to talk to me like that? Stand up straight. You're in your mother's house. Act like a human being. Walk out of here. But pick up your cup. Walk out. Walk out the door, I says.
Oh, caught his eyes.
You know, talk to me like that, being, you know, hunched over.
I love you,
Dice. Little defect.
At Andrew Dice Clay on Instagram. Be sure to follow him, folks.
Cool. On with Mario Lopez.